Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
I'ma take it to trial. Pray the Lord I beat the case. That man be calling.
It is Wednesday, May 4th. May the 4th be with you, as the nerds say. Obviously, running solo, Chris had some bullshit going on. I don't even know what it is. I was waiting for him, and I decided to just run solo because I don't like being late. So I see my guy Kai Fresh said they're late. I'm not late. I've been sitting in here waiting. Chris is late, but in turn, the show is late. But I want to talk about a lot of stuff. One, Jordan Addison enters the portal. Brew McCoy entered the portal for the fourth time, the number one athlete in 2019. Just give my thoughts on that. And also just talk about Ohio State's roster, who I think could jump in the portal, not necessarily specific people, but just positionally. And then also tampering in college football. The big deal right now with Jordan Addison jumping in the portal is he was announced he was going to USC before he was even in the portal, and that's highly illegal. And the NCAA came out today with empty threats and empty balls and just, I mean, saying that they're going to crack down. It's going to be like, okay, this will be the first fucking time ever that you crack down and actually investigate and find something. But before we get to the show, I wanted to mention I've dropped a couple different tools on the Zone 6 website. Go to zone6.com, hit development, read about it, check it out. You have 7-day free trial if you want to try it out. But I just put on this badass ball reception tool, and it's just getting started. I'm developing this. It's a program, essentially, where you enter in simple stuff. I showed it on the show the other day, and it can track, you know, which eye was the premier eye catching the ball, which hand was the dominant hand catching the ball, and your percentages in every scenario that you catch the ball. It'll just tell you, so you can identify weaknesses. That was 2 days ago. Dropped another video yesterday about hand yoga and how to increase your catch percentages. Huge content dropped today. 5 videos going out today. So there'll be 25, 30 pieces of content on there. So if you go check it out, all I'm going to tell you is this. If you want to get significantly better or learn the game at a deeper level, just try it out. It's a free trial. Sign up. Check it out. See what you think of the knowledge that I'm trying to share with you and see if it's worth it. And if not, cancel. Also, if you sign up for a free trial this week, you will get a free one-on-one consultation with me. You send me your film, I watch your film, I give you some things and pointers that I think you should work on, weaknesses in your game, and we'll talk about ways to improve it. So go sign up. Moral story. All right, enough about that. Jordan Addison in the portal. Just mind-blowing how this is going on. And I'm really curious if he's going to be able to get a waiver because the deadline has passed. The NCAA set a deadline and said you had to be in the portal by this date or else you're going to have to sit out a year, right? You're going to need to apply for a waiver. Well, he jumps in the portal after the fact, and the question remains, can you do that? What's his waiver reasoning going to be? If you look at the NCAA and what they've done in years past, right, before the one-time transfer rule was put into place, they were very laissez-faire, very lax about what caused a waiver. I mean, fuck, Tate Martell got a waiver to go to Miami, and his reason was me. I didn't coach the kid, had nothing to do with the kid. I got fired from Ohio State. He used me as the reason to get eligible at Miami when anyone with a brain knows I had no impact on Tate Martell being at Ohio State. It's not like it made him uncomfortable that I was fired. He transferred because he wasn't going to play behind Justin Fields. So that was then, right? This is now. Now we're at a crossroads. And the question is going to be, will they approve the waiver for Jordan Addison? And not only that, but what are they going to do about the tampering? I mean, it's obvious, and I've talked about it on previous shows, the tampering, right? This shit's been going on forever. Let's not act like this is the first time a kid's been tampered with, right? Trayvon Grimes transferred out of Ohio State and knew for a fact he could go to Miami, Florida, Florida State. He knew it, right? Because his high school coach helped him figure it out. Because people in his life were reaching out to those colleges and asking, hey, Trey's not happy at Ohio State. He's not, you know, not getting the love he wanted. Can he transfer and will you take him? And then that college is like, oh shit, yeah. Yeah, we can. And then it gets back to the kid like, hey, Florida said you had a home. Then boom, transferring because he knows he can go to Florida, right? I think of I have a great story about this, and this is tampering, right? I tampered with a receiver at Florida, if you want to be honest, right? When Urban Meyer resigned at Florida the first time, not the second time, the first time, if everyone remember that saga, he resigned at Florida and was done. And then they convinced him just to take a hiatus, and Steve Addazio took over the program. On that hiatus, right, they had a receiver named Carl Moore, who I trained him and Aaron Hernandez one-on-one in the mornings, or I guess two-on-one. It was those two and I. And he was unhappy with Zach Azzani because Zach Azzani's a huge flaming douche. And he was unhappy with the way he was coaching. He was phony. He was fake. He saw right through it. Didn't like it. Wanted to transfer, right? And because it was kind of my guy, he texted me about it. Well, I immediately, Steve Addazio was the acting head coach, contacted Steve Addazio and said, hey, Carl Moore's texting me about transferring. Steve Addazio, if you know him, Italian guy, stern. He said, fuck that cancer. He could fucking go. You could fucking have him, right? Went off about it. And Steve, Coach Addazio and I were extremely close. He was a mentor to me. And so I was like, okay. So I tell Doc Holliday, I'm like, listen, they got to figure out what, you know, I told him he has to get a release, blah, blah, blah. Where our compliance guy sent a permission to contact form to Florida. Just so happens that was the day that Urban popped in the office from his little hiatus vacation and got the form on his desk. And he was livid because he's like, Zach's trying to get our players to transfer to Marshall. And he immediately called me with the director of compliance and was trying to scare me, right? He wanted to know why I was fucking with his players. Why am I trying to get his players? Why am I tampering with his players? And he said, you'll never work in college football ever again. Your career is over. I hope you're happy. And hung up on me. All because I was talking to Carl Moore. Tampering with a player. Now, they didn't turn it into the NCAA because I guess eventually he realized, one, Urban was contacting me through the process trying to get me to tell the kid to stay at Florida, which I did, which the kid did. So I reached out to the kid because Urban told me to. And then he called me to say I was tampering with players. So quick backstory. And I didn't talk to him again until he hired me at Ohio State. That's fucking wild, right? But quick backstory about tampering, because right now what's going on, and it's not just Lincoln Riley and USC. If you think Lincoln Riley and USC is the only program that is tampering with Jordan Addison, you're nuts. You're nuts. That kid, however he did it, whether it was his dad, his mom, his uncle, his high school coach, his high school position coach, it doesn't matter who. They were reaching out to colleges to see if there was interest. And then those conversations flip to what can he get if he goes there, right? If he comes to USC, what kind of NIL deals can you make? See, this is the perfect storm. Transfer portal being alive and active, NIL deals legal and popping. This is the perfect storm of corruption and just destruction of the sanctity of college football. It truly is. Because if you let schools come up with unlimited salaries for players, oh, and by the way, you also are allowed to take whoever you want, not just high school recruits, not just junior college players, you are allowed to take other people's players. And it's like headhunting, right? In the corporate world. I'm not even saying it's wrong, but college football is just a different place. Because you think about it, it's just like Microsoft, Apple, IBM, all these corporations where they could say, you know what? That CEO is doing a great job at Apple. We're going to pay him twice as much to come be our CEO. So my question for you in the comments, answer this for me. Is that wrong? I mean, these are adults. They're over 18, right? They can go to war. They can do it. I mean, they can smoke cigarettes, chew tobacco. They can't yet drink, most of them. But these kids, what is the difference between college football and corporate America? What is it? The amateurism is gone. They are now paid athletes, professional athletes. So why can they not entertain a better option, a better salary, right? They are employees, essentially. That is what they are. I don't agree that this is how it should be modeled, but that's how the NCAA modeled it. And now they're going to come out with the bullshit about, oh, we're gonna crack down on this shit. It's like, no, you're not. You allowed it to fucking happen. And if you crack down now, it's like you... It's like allowing someone to bang your wife and then beating them up after. It's like, wait a minute, what? You caused this. You're the one that allowed this. And if you're too dumb to know that, then I don't know what to tell you. So you're going to crack down on them. So I see a super chat here. from Isaac Atkins. Appreciate it, Isaac. What is the potential of Jack Sawyer and JT? Are they as talented as Chase Young and Bosa brothers at the same age? It's too early to tell. They're wildly talented. From what I've seen in spring, what I saw last year in flashes, and from what they're saying in the program, from Larry Johnson to the other coaches, they are really, really good. Now, Chase Young, again, I will throw caution at comparing anyone to Chase Young. Chase Young's the best defensive end I think I've ever seen. The most dominant defensive end, I mean, in college football. Ridiculous. And the Bosas are right there with him. So I'm not ready to say they will be Chase Young or Bosas, but if we're being honest, that's a pretty, pretty high bar. Even if they're remotely close, they're going to be All-Americans, first-round draft picks. So can they be? Of course they can. Anything's possible. Are they great players? Yes. Are they going to be dominant players this year? Yes. Are they Joey Bosa and Chase Young and Nick Bosa? We'll see. I mean, that's a lofty, lofty goal. But getting back to the other part of this transfer portal that I think is hilarious is Brew McCoy. Brew McCoy, the number one athlete in 2019, is transferring yet again to Tennessee. I guess good for you, Vol Nation. This is his fourth school in 4 years, or whatever it is, 5 years. No, 4 years. Four school, just jumping around the transfer portal. When that happens, that usually means the kid's not any fucking good. Kids don't transfer that many times that are dominant players or great players. They just don't. Maybe one transfer, four, three. Nah, the kid can't play. He stinks, guaranteed. Because if he could play, he would have found a home at one of the three, right? And what makes you think Tennessee is going to be different? Why? Because they don't have as many good players. It's funny to see. I think what will be interesting to see is kind of how the portal hurts or helps Ohio State. I mean, I don't see Ohio State hitting the portal for anything at this point, but I do think you're going to see some not those mid-tier players, right? The kids that are going to transfer are not going to be the seniors, probably. I mean, they could if they want that last shot at a career, but those juniors and sophomores that get either bypassed by freshmen or just aren't in the rotation yet, those are the kids you're going to see transfer. What I don't think will ever happen, at least not yet, is I don't think a superstar will leave Ohio State. But that is the question, right? If Ohio State and the foundation, and then the one with Jack Nicklaus and Archie Griffin running it, if they don't pony up big money for star players, could you imagine C.J. Stroud transferring because he gets $4 million somewhere else? If we're talking about, I mean, Tennessee just paid a shitload of money for that big-time quarterback recruit. Imagine how much a booster would pay for a bona fide first-round quarterback. I mean, what is the price tag? $5 million? At some point, that is going to be the conversation. And at some point, love for the Buckeyes is not going to cut it. It's going to come down to dollars. Like, C.J. Stroud could get hurt this year. How much is he going to make in NIL? If somewhere else can offer him $5, $6 million, why would he not go? That's guaranteed life-changing money. He doesn't even have to play the year. He could get hurt, never play again. He's got life-changing money. So that's, I think, going to be the most interesting development coming up is, what about star players at big-time universities? They're going to have to pay up. Think about Bryce Young at Alabama. Imagine if you're Georgia, and right now, you're sitting there saying, damn, we don't have a quarterback. We're not going to be able to beat Bama this year. Let's come up with a trust fund, a fucking slush fund, to get Bryce Young to Georgia. Call his high school coach, tell him we'll give him $10 million for 1 year to come play for the Georgia Bulldogs. I see Chris. Oh, Chris is here. The haircut fund. Thanks for the day off. Where on the depth chart would Addison be if he was at OSU this year? He wouldn't be a starter. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Jordan Addison would not start at Ohio State. He'd probably start anywhere else, but he's not better than Jackson Smith and Jigba. He's not better than Marvin Harrison Jr. He's not better than Emeka Egbuka. He's probably not even better than Julian Fleming. He's better than Jaden Ballard. He might be better than Julian Fleming. We don't know that, right? The jury's out on that, but he's not in the top three. He would be, once again, at best, the fourth best receiver at Ohio State. That's just what he would be. But when you're looking at this portal, it's going to be interesting to see what happens at Ohio State and schools like Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia. We already saw Georgia lost a receiver to Alabama, right? If the situation is not ideal for those players and the money's not right for the big-time players, kids are going to start leaving top five programs to go to other programs because the money's right or the situation's better. Look at Jordan Addison. I know it's not a top five program, but he saw Kenny Pickett, the only first round quarterback in this draft, is gone. He went through spring and said, shit, not only am I not going to make a lot of money playing for Pitt, this quarterback situation is not going to make me a lot of money in the draft. So I need to get up out of here, make some coin this year, and find a better situation to improve my draft stock for the future. Is the kid wrong? No, he's not wrong. He's doing exactly what he fucking should do. If it was my kid, I'd tell him to do it. Because this is about your future. This is about your family, the people you care about, being able to make as much money as you can, play in the sport you love, and you've grinded on forever. That's what it's about. You can make it about team and Buckeyes and you know, Blockos and all that other shit. But the reality is, this is about generational wealth. When kids are playing football at that level at Ohio State, at Alabama, even at Pitt, you know, Biletnikoff Award winner, that kid is, he loves to play. Obviously, he's really good, but he's playing for generational wealth. That's what their end goal is. The faster you can get that, the more you can increase your chances at that, the better you are. And they're going to do it. Jordan Addison's a great example. No different than after this year of CJ Stroud, when he's done, if Ohio State's quarterbacks aren't on point, Emeka Egbuka might be like, yo, I'm up out of here. I got to get my money right. Or Marvin Harrison Jr. might be, and Marvin Harrison Jr. might be a little different. His family certainly is not hurting for money. They already have generational money. But at the moral story is, those kids are going to leave. What about when Bryce Young leaves Alabama? What are those young receivers, if they, I don't even know if they're going to have any the way they recruit, but will they want to play for the next guy? And that's the question. That's where we're at in college football, is these programs are at risk. Everyone is, even Ohio State. Even the biggest and most successful programs are still at risk for kids leaving, because there's always a better option. And there's always somewhere that if they want to, they can raise the money and pay. Now, the other side of this, I think, is, you know, there's going to be some players that get bypassed, right? Some of these freshmen that we watched in the spring game, and some of the guys that I've heard about that went through spring ball. Mind you, there's a bunch of players showing up in June also. They're going to bypass some of these older players and some of these mid-tier players, those sophomores and juniors. And when they do, those kids are out, done, transfer. And I think you'll see it before season starts, so they don't waste a year, right? I think you'll see it maybe after a week in training camp. I mean, certainly, hopefully we don't have a mid-game walk-off like we had last year. But I think that it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Ohio State and what happens with the country, because this landscape is just, it's nuts. It's the wild, wild west. When I talk to some of these coaches, they all laugh and they're like, bro, you are just be so happy you're not in this anymore, because this is nuts. It is nuts what they have to deal with on the road recruiting. I talked to a good friend of mine who coaches for the Service Academy, and it's wild what they go through. I didn't realize Service Academies, here's the biggest difference between Service Academies recruiting and normal college football programs, because the Army, obviously, and Army, Navy, Air Force, all those schools, they get a little leeway because they are recruiting future Army cadets, right? They go out on the road recruiting in the spring right now. They can do home visits. No one else can do home visits. They can go into it. They can talk to kids. One, colleges aren't supposed to talk to kids, but service academies can talk to kids. They can sit down with a kid for an hour and have a conversation because they're working for the U.S. government, the U.S. Army or the U.S. Navy. They also can go to that kid's house. So the reality is, most service academies are just recruiting against each other, so it doesn't really matter. But I did think it was wild. I didn't realize they could do that, that they could do home visits in spring. So shout out to all the Service Academy coaches for doing that, because that sounds fucking awful. Doing home visits all spring. Spring is supposed to be easier recruiting. You go out on the road, you grind for 10 hours, and then you go out to dinner, have a beer, like relax a little bit, hopefully in a warm place, in a beautiful place. No, not the Service Academy. They ain't doing none of that. They're going home visit after home visit. Just crazy. So I wanted to throw that out there. A little bit shorter show because I don't have Chris here yapping and dying on hills. But I wanted to just roll with it because I didn't want to keep delaying the show waiting for him. So I appreciate everyone for tuning in. Please check out Zone 6. I'm telling you, I am putting a ton of effort and a ton of energy into this to try to make it something valuable for honestly, if you're a huge college football fan, you'll learn a lot from it. If you're a football coach at any level, it has value. And if you're a skill kid playing football, or you know one, or you're a father of one, it's a difference maker. It'll help you understand the position and how to teach your kid to maximize them. So please check it out, zone6.com. Click development. Sign up for a 7-day free trial. Appreciate everybody for hanging out solo. Been a minute since I've done a solo show. And I wasn't prepared for it, Chris, so fuck you. If I would have prepared for it, it would have been even better. But appreciate everybody. Like the video, subscribe, click the bell, all that other shit. Comment down below. Whatever you want. Appreciate everybody. Menace out.